Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Monday, August 8th. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It is always an honor and a joy to be with you. Now, today is the memorial of St. Dominic, the beloved priest and founder of the Order of Preachers known as the Dominican Order. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor once again. Glenn, what are some of the big stories that we should be watching this hour?
Well, John and Sarah, in the intro to our show, each and every hour, we've got some happy baby noises in there, and the folks in Indiana may well be hearing more of that as the Indiana legislature, the first in the country to approve an abortion ban in the wake of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. This will go into effect September 15th, saying that abortions can only be performed at hospitals and outpatient centers in the case of rape and incest during the first 10 weeks of pregnancy, otherwise completely limited beyond that, John.
What has been the reaction to this ban? I know the mainstream media was all over it as soon as it passed late Friday night and was signed into law.
Pro-lifers very happy, especially in the wake of Kansas voters turning down an opportunity to limit abortion further in that state. The sky is falling, according to the mainstream press, anytime there seems to be some limit to abortion, and even some virtue signaling companies saying that they'll be moving out of Indiana, not doing business. At least that's the threat right now.
Sarah, any thoughts on how people are reacting in Indiana to this abortion ban?
Yeah, it seems that the people who are very upset about what happened are people who are, again, just very misguided as to what this is. I mean, I think originally Planned Parenthood was always saying they wanted it safe, legal, and rare. And this is a very rare circumstance that they're allowing for the rape and incest, which we know as Catholics is still not a good option. But this is a very good compromise to start somewhere. And this is going to put, when we know when something is illegal, our minds start to think differently about it. Even if it's something we want to do, we see it's illegal, we're less likely to do it. So that's a good start, because the pregnancy centers all around Indiana who are already doing great work will just probably have a few more people to take in, and more the more the merrier. Like Glenn said, those baby sounds can be yours after 9 months and some pain in the labor. You too can enjoy those beautiful baby sounds because they're there.
We love the baby sounds. We pray for the babies, and we also pray for the mothers. Glenn, the other big story, of course, is the Senate passing the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Some say this is not going to do a whole lot, not a dent on inflation.
Democrats are hoping it does in terms of inflation being the biggest thing on folks' minds for the midterm elections coming up this fall. They wanted to get this signature legislation done before the summer recess for Congress, and they just sneaked it through, just enough votes in the Senate with a little help from Vice President Harris to break the tie there. But it's called the Inflation Reduction Act. Even some on the left say it really won't make that happen, including Bernie Sanders. A lot of money in there, though, for climate change, $60 billion for renewable energy infrastructure, including solar panels, wind turbines, and the like, and efforts to reduce the cost of prescription drugs, and be a little harder when it comes tax time on some large corporations.
The Republicans are not buying it. They think it's going to make inflation worse. And in fact, some Republicans are saying that the Democrats are going to pay the price in the midterms for passing this massive spending bill.
Well, I don't know if voters honestly look closely enough at the passage of certain legislation or not, but they are looking at their pocketbooks and they're looking at the bills from the gas pump, the grocery checkout line, and things like that. So inflation will still be a big, big topic come this fall.
I'm definitely looking at the prices at the gas every morning on the way to work. I see what the latest is, and knock on wood, it's actually gone down in the last 6 weeks.
Well, it certainly has now. It's not what it was, a year ago, or certainly about a year and a half ago. But AAA now says the national average today, $4.05 a gallon, down 16 cents from a week ago. Cheapest in Texas, $3.55 a gallon, still expensive in California. The average there, excuse me, John, $5.44.
We got a ways to go to where we were a couple of years ago. But as always, thanks, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 6:27. Our Lord Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him has God the Father set his seal." Later in the same sixth chapter of St. John, our Lord Jesus Christ refers to the Holy Eucharist when he says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." What are some examples of food that disappear? I think that Jesus was referring to material things, all the stuff that we spend our lives chasing after, the houses, the cars, the clothes, and of course, intangibles like power and prestige. The only thing that lasts is our relationships with God, our family, and our friends. And so we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do it today, and especially Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, when our lives are super busy, as they sometimes can be, we can feel overwhelmed and can be tempted to skip prayer time in order to jump right into the busyness of the day. But when we take the time for God and talk to Him from the heart about our worries and our needs, it's truly amazing how much more smoothly the day can go on. Joining us live with much more perspective is our spiritual director today, Father John Gordon, with much more on how we can find God and grow closer to God, especially during these days of summer. Father Gordon is the Secretary of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, as well as a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. Good morning, Father Gordon. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. It is a privilege to be with you and all of Relevant Radio. Once again, this lovely day, at least it's lovely where I happen to be sitting in New Jersey. And I just find myself reflecting during the summertime. I've had the privilege of you and I having some conversations several times this summer, John. And each one seemed to be about some aspect of drawing closer to God. And I see that's a beautiful theme that I've seen develop, and even quickening my own heart and desire to be conscious and to be deliberate about letting God find me, finding Him, seeking Him, being found by Him, and then drawing closer to Him. And of course, there's some principal ways, of course, is daily prayer, the Mass, praying the Scriptures, the Rosary, but there's all sorts of other ways in which we can draw closer to God, particularly spiritual reading, reading about the lives of the saints or about spiritual things. I think also lives of service, maybe taking care of others, being involved in some kind of service or ministry project. But even one thing that's dear to my heart is pilgrimage. And when people think of pilgrimage, they probably think of going on some big exotic trip, maybe to the Holy Land or to Rome. And those are certainly very, very extraordinary pilgrimages. But we can do a pilgrimage right to our local church or to our cathedral or to any other kind of place where we find ourselves, we're making a We're moving from here to there so that it might just not be moving our bodies from one place to another, but a spiritual movement, which is what all this is about. Drawing closer to God is a spiritual movement within our hearts about how we are aware of God and stir up that desire for God. I think so many times we expect us to have a feeling for it before we act on it. I have to feel like I want to pray. I have to feel like I want to draw close to God. And I think that for many of us, for myself, excuse me, if I relied on that, it would probably be pretty fatal because my feelings aren't always in a good spot. But if I choose, I'm going to do this when I first get up. I'm going to do this just before I go to bed. I'm going to make sure I do this at least once during the day. Then I find myself stirring up faith, stirring up a zeal and a love for God. And then all those other things that I thought were just ordinary and mundane can become opportunities to draw close to God.
Father Gordon, some people refer to this month of August as the dog days of summer. I know I've heard baseball fans refer to it as the dog days of summer, but it's also the month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Here at the end of summer, we can still find time for the Lord to find God in our everyday lives. Can you maybe give us a few suggestions here this morning, and let's take them one at a time, of ways that we can find the Lord here the rest of this summer.
Sure, sure. Well, I think it's amazing that you mentioned that phrase, the dog days of summer, on the feast of St. Dominic, because the followers of Dominic, the order of preachers, are also known as Dominicans or Dominicane. And in Latin, that would be the dogs of God. Sometimes they refer to that as the dogs of God. St. Dominic's mother had a dream when she was pregnant with him of a dog with a torch in its mouth running around the world, setting the whole world on fire. And she believed that was the thing he fulfilled in her son. So these dog days of summer with St. Dominic, they're usually referred to as a sense of laziness. But I think it'd be a sense to in which we stir up some zeal for God. And I think that's important. And I think the first thing, again, I can't emphasize this enough, is to take time every day to just pray for a little bit, even if it's just a few moments, and time where you're doing nothing else but that, not while you're also waiting online or making breakfast or getting in the car. All those are things that we have to do. But tend a few minutes just sitting in the Lord's presence, being aware of God, maybe using the daily mass readings, which you can find on the app, all sorts of things in which you can just say, Lord, I want to dedicate this day, dedicate this time to you. Because there is something about that relationship. It's all about a relationship with the Lord. You mentioned, John, at the very beginning that the only things that last is our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with family and friends. And the reason those things last is because people and God last forever. Everything else doesn't last forever. And consequently, it's about a relationship. And the only way to have a relationship with the Lord that's of any worth is to spend time with somebody, just the way I would develop a relationship with you or anybody else. And so if we can do that every single day, even if it's just for 5 minutes, I want to encourage that very, very strongly and powerfully. I know for myself, it's been one of those decisions to take time for daily prayer that I believe has eternal consequences.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned 5 minutes, Father Gordon, but I mean, in 30 seconds, you connect very briefly with the Lord. Just a simple prayer like, you know, Jesus, I trust in you, or Lord Jesus, I love you. Will you teach me how to love you more? Or perhaps, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. These are really short little prayers that can reconnect us in a very brief period of time with our Lord during the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John. I think it's important to have those reminders, you know, like couples who wear a wedding ring have a constant reminder before them. When they look at their hand, they're reminded of who they are and that relationship. And it might cause them to send have a thought of affection for their spouse. What are the things that we can do that constantly remind us of our love for God? And those little short little prayers, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. Come Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. Jesus, have mercy. All those things are wonderful. And I think that there's a way in which because we're so busy, as you mentioned in the very beginning of the session, we need to slow down. And maybe that's one of the ways in which the dog days of summer, we need to slow down a little bit. At least at some point in our day, we need to slow down. And I know as I'm talking to mothers with young children, to people who might have more than one job so that they can put food on the table, to people with significant levels of responsibility, for people who have all sorts of other concerns and challenges that make that quiet, that taking time off, that slowing down virtually impossible. But I believe that if you say, Lord, help me find time for you, help me slow down so I can spend some time with you, that the Lord will reveal where you can do that. And you might find some time in an unexpected place, in an unexpected way, and to just take advantage of that. And the Lord will bless that. If you only have 30 seconds to give, the Lord will pour out an infinite amount of grace in those 30 seconds. So beg the Lord for that. Have a conversation with God. I think that's an important part of the prayer, that we not only do all this talking, but we do a lot of listening. And I know that that's important for us in the human relationship. It's important for us in our relationship with God. And Scripture can be a great source to help us do that, either by listening to the daily Mass readings or by praying a psalm or some little simple things like that.
No question. Meditating on Scripture, even if it's just for a few moments a day, is a wonderful thing. And also spiritual reading the lives of the saints, for example. Today, Saint Dominic. We can get really fired up and inspired by reading the lives of these heroes of our faith.
Absolutely. When you realize, especially now that they have we have such a richness of lives about the saints. Back in the day, I would say maybe 50 to 100 years ago, most lives of the saints were very, very saccharine. By that I meant they were very, very super sweet. They would talk about the saints in a way that made it sound like when they walked on snow, they left no footprints. And so it would be very difficult to connect to them. You might realize, oh, it's great that these saints did such wonderful things. But now people tend to write much lives about the saints, which are much more realistic. And they talk about their own personal challenges or the challenges of the time in which they lived. And we can realize the saints had real lives like we do. And I can be a saint, maybe, or at least I can be inspired to want to be like somebody else. And there's all sorts of saints of all sorts of interest. And nowadays, you can research those very, very simply. What saint is our patron saint of, crocheting or whatever? And then maybe there is, St. Clair is the patron saint of television, for example. And so we have all these kinds of ways in which we can read about the saints, especially in a way that says, how can I let the virtues and qualities of this saint inspire and encourage me? And what are those virtues and qualities in the saint that are attractive to me in a way that I'd like to emulate them? And maybe as you read about the lives of the saints, you might say, oh, that reminds you of somebody I know. They're like that too. And you begin to look at one another with a new kind of admiration. Wow, they have some saintly qualities there. And besides lives of the saints, there's also just great spiritual reading and spiritual classics, like The Imitation of Christ, or any of the writings and the works of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, writing by the saints. So those kinds of spiritual readings, those kinds of spiritual books, are very, very helpful. Some of them are classic and time tested. Others are much more contemporary, but they all allow us to kind of realize it gets my focus on the things of God. Gets my mind on the things of God. If I fill my time with television and the like, and reading magazines and newspapers and the current novel of the day, well, that might have some recreational value, but it's not going to feed my soul. It's not going to feed the deepest part of me. And whatever I feed in me is going to grow stronger. And if I want my life in the Lord to grow stronger, if I want my dedication to God to be all the more alive, then I need to feed that. And I feed that with prayer, with spiritual reading, with the lives of the saints. If I don't feed that, I'm feeding other distractions and other kinds of things. And they're the kinds of things, it seems to me, that increase my busyness and worldliness and running around stuff, as opposed to being focused on the things of God.
Father Gordon, in the moments that we have left, your thoughts on pilgrimages, going on a pilgrimage here at the tail end of the summer. And it doesn't have to be to Lourdes or Guadalupe. You can find one closer to home. And also serving others, serving our brothers and sisters in whatever way you can.
Sure. With terms of serving our brothers and sisters, there's all sorts of ministries that do that. There might be a ministry in your area of a soup kitchen or of various kinds of things like that that we can serve. But even just very personal things, like you're aware of somebody in the hospital or somebody who is in need, and you can just do something, make a visit to them. I think the other thing about a pilgrimage, for example, is it could be to your local parish church. Maybe we're going to walk there this time rather than taking the car. And just kind of on the way, say a prayer. If your family is with you, a way to kind of get the children excited. We're going to stop in the church. Oh, what mass? We're not going to mass. We're just going to say a little prayer, spend a little visit, talk to the Lord, and then we'll go out for lunch or breakfast or do something. But the sense of movement, the sense of getting a spiritual exercise involved. Your local cathedral is also a great place of pilgrimage. Now, I know for some people, the cathedral is quite a distance away, but it can be a way in which we're stirring something up, we're moving, and the purpose of a pilgrimage is the actual journey itself has great value because it's a metaphor for the journey of life.
Well, Father Gordon, you are filled with so many great suggestions. We could talk about it much, much more, but I really do appreciate your spiritual direction here this morning.
Thank you so much. My joy and my prayer for all of us is that we make some conscious decisions about how can I draw closer to God, especially this month of August, these dog days of summer, as you say, this ask the Immaculate Heart of Mary to intercede for us, to give us wisdom. A week from today is the Feast of the Assumption, in which she becomes that heavenly intercessor for us. So, Our Lady, please lead us and guide us in all things.
Thanks so much. Father John Gordon, the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, as well as a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. We need to take a short time out when Morning Air continues. Award-winning author Marge Fenelon will join us to talk about five back-to-school things that all parents can do for themselves as we get ready to head back to school. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wow, summer was fun, but I'm so excited to start a new school year. We're back at school, there's so much to do. Learn reading and writing, math and science too. Gonna make new friends, see my good friends again. Our school is really cool. We're happy to be back at school.
You gotta love it. The Back to School song by Jack Hartman. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Well, we're talking about going back to school. Can you believe that it's almost that time of the year to go shopping for all the school supplies, for clothes, the annual physicals, for sports, and to get ready for the new school year? Now, when it's back to school time, the main focus tends to be on what parents need to do for their children. But what about what parents can do for themselves? Whether our children are going to a conventional school or are homeschooling, there are some things that parents can do for themselves that will help them to grow mentally and spiritually. So we're going to talk a little bit about both. We're now joined live by Morning Air contributor Marge Fenelon with some back-to-school things that parents can do for themselves. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and a Catholic media personality. Good morning, Marge. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again to talk about this very timely topic.
Good morning, John. It's great to be back, and I can't believe we're talking about this, quite frankly. For us, the summer went really fast, and I've been hearing this from other people. So, timely topic, and one that I think is very, very important, because as you said, the focus is on the kids, and that's a good thing. We need to take care of our kids and have them ready for school. But I know from my own experience, there was a tendency for me to focus so much on the kids, and there was so much to get done, and there's forms, and there's all of the sometimes there's orientation at the school, things like that. And I forgot about myself. I would have that tendency to forget about myself. So I would go into the school year not ready and recharged, but quite frankly exhausted because all of my energy had been going into preparing the kids. And I realized this has to change. And so I worked out a plan for myself where I would do things during the school year and prior to the school year that would help recharge me, that would enrich me, because you know I think that we teach by example. So if we are giving a good example to the kids in terms of not only being ready but how we structure the school year and our own yearning to enrich ourselves, that rubs off on the kids. It's a good example. So I've worked out five things that parents can do for themselves for the school year.
Well, I think that these five things are very timely, and you know, I think it's not either or, it's both and. So we need to take care of ourselves so that then we can better take care of our kids.
Exactly, because if you're all run down, and I experienced this myself, you know, when parents are so run down, you have less to give your children. But in order to be able to have that storehouse of things of attention and care to give your children, well, you've got to take care of yourself first. So,
believe me, Mars, this is very relevant topic because, in fact, in my briefcase, I have a folder filled with doctor forms and physicals and eye exams that I cannot forget to drop off at my son's school on the way home today. So, this is so relevant for this dad.
There you go. Yeah, and exactly. That's, you know, that's the point. So you're multitasking while you're multitasking.
Full disclosure, my wife has been out of town for a little bit taking care of her mom. So I've had to do some of this stuff, and it makes me appreciate all the great work she does as well.
Oh, so sweet. Well, and that's the first point, is the primary point in the five things is secure some time for yourself. I think that is essential for parents to do, even if it's just 15 minutes. If you can carve out an entire 30 minutes each day where it's just for you, you're not necessarily doing anything. It's just a time to just take a breath and talk to God, sit down. My personal preference was always to sit down with a cup of coffee early in the morning before the kids were up and just have a conversation with the Blessed Mother, or maybe it's Saint Joseph. You know, they were educators as well. They educated our Lord, so they understand that process of educating and giving yourself to yourself to your children. I think that this time where you don't worry about anything. You don't necessarily think about having to do anything, but you just be, and just be in the presence of God and take in the grace. It takes a little bit of practice at first, I think, because we're so used to, okay, what do I have to do today? And this is worrying me, and I've got to get that other thing finished up. But this is just me time. To just say, oh, I'm God's child, and I need to reconnect with God and recharge my battery.
Mars, could we kill two birds with one stone by incorporating this into going to Mass, maybe getting there 15 minutes early and just spending some quiet time alone, letting the good Lord, recharge our battery spiritually?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely a great idea, because where's the best, what's our best battery recharger, and that is the Mass. So absolutely, we could kill two birds with one stone with that.
Well, this is definitely a part of the normal day here for this radio host. After this show, I immediately go across the street and go to Mass every day. So it's part of the daily routine because, you know, I get up super early. So it's always in a hustle-bustle hurry to get to the studio. So I do it kind of backwards. I do it after the show.
Yeah, but it's still done.
Absolutely.
With God, there is no time. This is something, this is a structure we place on ourselves, and he doesn't even work according to the clock. So, yeah, it all counts. I think it's beautiful.
Okay, what about another suggestion? And this one includes the children's teachers.
I think it's very, very important to get to know your children's teachers. Now, I understand they're busy, and so you may only have just a few minutes. And I'm not talking about when you have the typical parent-teacher meetings. I'm talking about at the beginning of the school year, as soon as you can, introduce yourself. Go into the classroom or even call ahead and say, you know, can I just drop in for a few minutes? Introduce yourself. Get to know. It's not enough to know their names. Okay, Mrs. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. Okay, it's take some time to talk to them about their philosophy of education and their hopes and expectations for your child. They will give you great insight how to coach your child for the classroom. And then share a little bit of background of your own family, because this helps the teachers understand their students. And a real example from our family was our youngest was a high-risk pregnancy, and it got to the point where it wasn't going very well. And so, obviously, this affects the whole family. And so I let my children's teachers know. They were in the conventional school at the time, and then in later years we did some homeschooling, so I'm kind of a hybrid here. But I talked to the teachers, and I said, you know, this is what's going on. Oh, thank you so much. You know, that really helps me. Now I understand the moods or whatever, you know, whatever it is going on with your kid. So, you don't give your whole life story, but a little background is very helpful for the teacher. Then the teacher understands who he or she is teaching.
Do you think that getting to know the teacher also helps the child's relationship with the teacher?
Oh, I think so, definitely. Because then it's not just someone the child's coming home and trying to describe to you, but you have a common friend, a common acquaintance. And yeah, I do. I think that helps tremendously.
What about broadening our own horizons as parents? What can we do? I know that this is another one of your points.
Well, again, as we started this segment, we focus on the kids and what do the kids have to learn? What are they, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, this is a golden opportunity to do, again, like killing two birds with one stone. We are taking this opportunity to enrich our own education spiritually and mentally. So get a book. You know, choose a book that you've always wanted to read about a topic you always wanted to know something about, something more about. And start dig in. It doesn't even have to be, you don't have to sit and read the whole thing, you know, cover to cover in one sitting. It could be so many pages a day. But that you are learning and growing at the same time your children are learning and growing. And let them know that you're doing this. Hey kids, I'd like to know more about such and such. And then let them see you digging into this book and share some of the things, according to their age and how their understanding, share some of the things that you've been learning there in that book. You can do an online course, but I think that isn't the same. It doesn't have the same camaraderie with your kids as a physical book, because they're going to be learning. Yeah, they do some things online, but they are going to be doing their own physical book learning. And I think it's really important that it's about setting example. So if they need to do their homework, maybe it's a good time for mom or dad to sit down and do their homework per se and pull out that book and read the book. Work on your learning while your children are working on their learning. And I have done this with my kids, and I find that it works really well. Because if you're off being busy while they're trying to study, you know, sometimes you have to, but it definitely is nicer for the kids if you can sit with them at least for a little while and you're all learning together.
What does it do to a child to know that the parent cares enough to actually sit down and read something with them?
I think it changes their whole perspective because they realize that learning isn't just something mom and dad are making us do. You know, they're making us sit down and do our homework. But they understand that it's something that's important not only for kids but adults, and that this love of learning, this is what you're teaching them, is this love of learning is endless in its potential and in the time frame. That once you learn, you know, I always told my kids, I may not be able to teach you everything, but I want to teach you how to learn. And that was our focus. And they still do that. They still love to learn new things because of that.
I want to talk a little bit about the change in schedule once it's time to go back to school. Obviously, a little bit different than during the summertime, but we need to take a short break. I also want to invite our listeners, if you have any additional suggestions or ideas of things that parents can do for themselves here as we get ready to go back to school, we're taking your calls for award-winning Catholic author Marge Fenelon at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Marge. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air. Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
AAA 914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales as we continue our discussion with Marge Fenelon, award-winning author and well-known Catholic media personality and speaker. We're talking about five practical things that parents can do for themselves as we get ready to go back to school. Marge, let's talk about the change in schedule and routine from summertime to school time.
Well, personally speaking, it hit me like a brick wall. That change was big, and I think probably for my kids since we're related and it's hereditary. But I think for a lot of folks that can be a huge deal in terms. I mean, there's no free for all anymore, and you know, maybe you had a routine during summer, but your school routine is going to be a lot different. So expect this. You know ahead of time. Just expect this. That things are going to be, there's going to be a big change. There's going to be some scrambling as we get used to the new schedule and routine. But I'm very firm on having at least a workable schedule for your school year, and you know map it out with your kids. And you know, but too rigid is no good, because then it's either you're going to throw it out because it's too hard to follow, or it's going to be intimidating. So basically, it's just a block plan for your day. All right, this is about the time we need to be getting up, and this is about how long it takes to get to school, and that kind of thing. So you come home from school, and then maybe we'll have so much time for downtime, and just so you get this picture of the day and what the routine is going to be like for you. And if you work on it together, then it's kind of that all-in philosophy. So you're not that the kids have their way and say, we went 2 hours of TV time after school. But that you're working together and everybody's on board with this and ready for the change. It's basically a matter of having a reference point so that you keep on track.
Marge, based on your own experience as a parent, is it a parent's role to help the kids get organized, or does it make a difference the age, from the little ones to high school age?
I think it's an all-in effort. So, according to the age and how much they're able to do, then of course they, you know, they're going to want more independence. They're going to need more independence because you need, what we want are autonomous adults who make good, holy decisions. So you don't want to have such a tight grip on them. But I think everybody needs to be working as a team. So I always, you know, when I got the list from the teachers, typically there's a list, mostly in grade school. When I got the list, and I'd have the high schoolers, the older kids, they would have to make out their own list of what do you need, and then we would work on that list together. And then right before school would start, we would again look at the list and say, okay, do we have everything? And I'd have the kids set up their stuff, take a look at it. Yep, we've got it all. And then have them get involved in, you know, packing the backpacks and, you know, making sure that everything physically is ready for school. I really, for me, that seemed to have a big impact on the kids, that it's not something, you know, I'm not just sending them off to school. So here's a bunch of supplies, here you go. And no, it wasn't like that at all. Is that what I was doing is helping them independently as much as possible plan for their school year and be prepared.
Some parents are thinking, oh my goodness, they're exhausted before they even start. You know, I mean, the fatigue is starting to set in before you even get going. What do you say to parents who may feel overwhelmed? You know, they're just tired and, you know, they're not really sure what to do.
Well, you know, if you're, again, I'm going to go back to the first point is please make sure that you've got 15 minutes a day for yourself where you can just breathe or cry or rant or beg God's mercy. but then I am a big advocate of cutting yourself some slack. So we always did this. So there's going to be rough days. Everybody's got rough days, but the school year, and you're trying to give so much of yourself, and we need to give ourselves permission to not expect so much of ourselves on a given day when everything just seems to be overwhelming. I would always keep, and I advocate this to other parents, quick fix foods in the pantry. You know, may not necessarily be super nutritious, but it's filling and it's going to make tummies happy. So you know, mac and cheese was kind of a staple in our cabinet.
We discovered mandarin chicken and rice while my wife has been away recently. It's super quick,
go.
Easy to make, and
there you go.
You know, we all love it.
Yeah, and so while you don't want to live on you know, these kinds of foods always, but for those days, you know it's there, you know you can fall back on it. I mean, there were a number of times where it was like, hey guys, you know what, we're having fried eggs for dinner and some frozen, you know, cooked frozen veggies, because it was like all I could manage. And then I always kept paper plates and disposable utensils around, paper napkins around, so that even doing dishes was minimized. And when the kids were really little, I could fool them into thinking it was a family picnic night. They got older and became like, you're really tired today, Mom, aren't you?
I'm so glad that you brought up doing dishes. You know, that's something that it was in the back of my mind. What do you think of kids doing chores like dishes? You think it builds a character and it's good for the kids to learn how to do these things?
I think it's an absolute must. We started because here's the in a nutshell, they're not going to learn to be independent adults if, again, they don't work at your side, you don't model that behavior for them and give them the chance to ingrain those behaviors within themselves. So we started very little when they were toddlers already, encouraging them to pick up their toys when they were done playing. And then we worked up more, you know, age-appropriate jobs with each year, so that it was stuff that they could handle. It wasn't like slave driver, but more like, hey, you know, this will help you to grow up to be a really well-rounded person. And so probably about the age of 7, our kids had regular chores around the house.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that putting the rinsing off the dishes and putting them in the dishwasher and taking out the garbage is too much to ask.
I do not either. And our kids, Yeah, there were some interesting moments between them when they were all working on dishes together. That's normal family life, but really it did teach them how to be independent, and it's natural for them now to get up from a meal and start the dishes, where if they wouldn't have been encouraged to do that as children, they wouldn't. They're not going to just automatically know it when they hit adulthood.
Well, Marge, it's been a joy chatting with you. We could do a whole nother show on how to get ready to go back to school for the kids now that we talked about the parents. So I really appreciate your perspective.
Oh, you're very welcome. And just one last thought is pray for a good school year as a family. Pray for the coming school year. This will help tremendously.
Amen. Thanks so much. Marge Fenelon, award-winning author and Catholic speaker. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Goodbye Kiss by Thomas Clary. The board meeting had come to an end. Bob started to stand up and jostle the table, spilling his coffee over his notes. Oh, embarrassing. I'm getting so clumsy in my old age, he said. Everyone had a good laugh, and soon we were all telling stories of our most embarrassing moments. It came around to Frank, who sat quietly listening to the others. Someone said, "Come on, Frank, tell us your most embarrassing moment." Frank laughed and began to tell of his childhood. "I grew up in San Pedro. My dad was a fisherman. He loved the sea. He had his own boat, but it was hard making a living on the sea. He worked hard and would stay out till he caught enough to feed the family, and not just enough for our family, but also for his mom and dad and the other kids that were still at home." He looked at us and said, "I wish you could have met my dad. He was a big man. He was strong from pulling the nets and fighting the seas for his catch. When you got close to him, he smelled like the ocean. He'd wear his old canvas, fall-weather coat, and his bibbed overalls. His rain hat would be pulled down over his brow. No matter how much my mother washed them, he'd still smell of the sea and fish." Frank's voice dropped a bit. "When the weather was bad, he'd drive me to school. He had this old truck that he used in the fishing business. The truck was older than he was. It would wheeze and rattle down the road. You could hear it coming for blocks. As he'd drive toward the school, I'd shrink down into the seat hoping to disappear. Half the time, he'd slam to a stop and the old truck would belch a cloud of smoke. He'd pull right up front and it seemed like everybody'd be standing around watching. Then he'd lean over and give me a big kiss on the cheek and tell me to be a good boy. It was so embarrassing for me. Here I was, 12 years old, and my dad would lean over and kiss me goodbye." He paused and then went on. "I remember the day I decided I was too old for a goodbye kiss. When we got to school and came to a stop, he had his usual big smile. He started to lean toward me, but I put my hand up and said, 'No, Dad.' It was the first time I'd ever talked to him that way, and he had this surprised look on his face. I said, 'Dad, I'm too old for a goodbye kiss. I'm too old for any kind of a kiss.' My dad looked at me for the longest time. His eyes started to tear up. I'd never seen him cry. He turned and looked out the windshield. 'You're right,' he said. 'You are a big boy, a man. I won't kiss you anymore.' And Frank got a funny look on his face, and the tears began to well up in his eyes as he spoke. It wasn't long after that when my dad went out to sea and never came back. It was the day when most of the fleet stayed in, but not Dad. He had a big family to feed. They found his boat adrift with its nets half in and half out. He must have gotten into a gale and was trying to save the nets and the floats. I looked at Frank and I saw the tears were running down his cheeks. Frank spoke again. 'Guys, you don't know what I'd give to be able to have my dad give me just one more kiss on the cheek, to feel his rough old face, to smell the ocean on him, and to feel his arm around my neck. I wish I'd been a man then. If I'd been a man, I never would have told my dad that I was too old for a goodbye kiss.'" Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Absolutely powerful story corner. Really hits home. Honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary this month of August by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. Or you can watch it live at relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you in the next Morning Air.